Today's passage comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. For those following in a pew Bible, it's on pages 1167 and 68. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves.
Thank you, brother. Let us pray together. Almighty God, the Scriptures teach us that Your word, the written Scriptures, pointing to the living Word, Jesus Christ, Your word transforms us. Your word corrects us. Your word teaches us. Your word edifies us. It builds us up. Lord, Your word gives us discernment, understanding about that which is false and that which is true. And thank you, Lord. Like a great beacon of light and hope, your word is shining in the darkness of this world, that we may come to know our God and Savior in salvation, that God has made the way for sinners to be saved. And there's no human being on this planet, whoever was or ever will be or is now, who can earn salvation by their own works, when Almighty God in sovereign grace and mercy has poured it out upon all who would believe in Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, came to the world you created, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, dying on the cross to pay for us, rising again from the dead, conquering death itself, holding out the promise in covenant of eternal life to all who would receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. God, have your way with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please keep your Bibles open there to Galatians 5, 1 through 12 as we go through this passage today. Here at our church, our main focus in study at our church has always been going through books of the Bible from beginning to end. So we've been going through Galatians this fall, and we've come to Galatians 5, 1 through 12. True freedom to run the race. True freedom to run the race. A lot of R's in my alliteration today. And the purpose of the message is to set us free from the bonds of religion so we can run the race of true faith. Now, notice I'm using the word true quite a bit. True faith. True freedom. And it's essential that we understand All of Scripture does this, especially in this book of Galatians, we find this. We understand that, yeah, you know what? There's a lot of religion in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of religion to go around. Even people who are not religious have a certain kind of faith, or a certain kind of hope, or a certain kind of thing they do still believe in. Even atheists believe in something. They believe that God does not exist, and that itself is also a stance of faith, isn't it? How ironic. But we have to understand, and praise God that He gave it to us, that there is false religion. There are things that sound very religious that will not set you free. There are things that sound very spiritual that will not save your soul. By God's grace, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the one and only true Savior of the world. Religion will not save. Jesus can save. But the message, even as Jesus said in Luke chapter 24 when He rose again from the dead, in fulfillment of all Old Testament Scripture, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, the message is that repentance for forgiveness of sins must be proclaimed to all the nations. We come to the book of Galatians, and the Apostle Paul was doing just that. We've read a few times now, going through this study from Acts 13 and Acts 15, that background church planting history of what Paul experienced when he came and he first presented the gospel to these people in Galatia. We understand that there might be a mixed historical background of Jewish background believers, Gentile background believers, and they're coming out of the Old Testament teachings. And they're all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And in Acts 13, Paul concludes his message to them with, "Now you are freed." In Jesus Christ, who He has proclaimed as dying on the cross for our sins and rising again from the dead, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are now freed from all things which you could not be freed from under the law of Moses if you're in Christ. I have a personal burden as a pastor. It applies to me as much as anyone I would ever teach or speak to. I hope and pray it's of the Holy Spirit and in harmony with the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. That personal burden is what's it like to watch people even look in the mirror and to know that we're free in Christ, but to still fall back into some slavery of sin. And how horrible that is. We must be set free from the bonds of religion so that we can run the race of true faith. Even Christians can be led astray by false teaching, which is what was happening in the time of the writing of the book of Galatians. I heard a song. Before I knew Jesus Christ's life, I used to listen to different kinds of music. I'm a drummer, so I used to drum in some things that I'm shameful to tell you what they were. Then we go overseas, and we don't have experience overseas to listen to radio very much. When we came back from overseas, I thought I would find some music that was at least, not so against my faith. Does anybody feel like the media today, it could be TV, it could be radio, it could be anything, it's an affront against our faith and our morals and our values and our teaching? I mean, it just... You almost gotta just like, you either, if you listen to anything, you gotta filter it, and I spend so much time and energy filtering it that it's no longer enjoyable, or I gotta turn it off. I thought country music was a safe area. But there's one song that's come out recently. I won't name the person, and I'm just going to give the theme of it. And obviously, I'm not even going to sing it for you because I can't sing. But there's this interesting theme of this new country song on the radio, and it lifts up these values of being a cowboy, And it's the kind of Western stuff that it's like we all get behind, It's like the good feeling stuff. It's the storyline of being a cowboy and all the attributes of being a cowboy. But the chorus says something like, "When I come back, Oh, by the way, let me say this. It also invokes the Lord in the song. Country songs. A lot of them do. Not all. Invokes the Lord. But the whole chorus is built on the premise, when I come back, I'm going to come back as a cowboy. Okay, we're doing a study on Sunday nights, 4 to 6, this fall. We've been going through Galatians in the morning. We're doing Christianity, Counterfeits, and Cults on Sunday afternoons. Y'all, that's reincarnation. That's Hindu. It is appointed all men die once, and then comes the judgment. You ain't coming back as no cowboy. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell, and that's final. We got these Christian concepts out there that are syncretized or mixed with the faith that we are taught in the pages of God's Word. Pay heed to the Word of God. Your soul is at stake. And it burdens me deeply personally. It burdens me deeply for the church that even Christians fall away from the true gospel and need to be reminded to come back. Come home. Come back home. This is what Galatians is about. In our world religions class, and actually I saw this in Kansas City. We would spend some time in Kansas City over the years, my wife and family and I, and went to the Y one day. And at the YMCA in Kansas City, there's, you know, the proud poster that says yoga. We are Christian. Yoga. Did y'all know yoga is Hindu? Did y'all know yoga is a physical expression of worship in Hindu? It's trying to align the human being with the Atman, with the existence of all things that are deity. So you have Christians practicing yoga. Now I understand there might be a difference if there's just stretching and exercise. We all need exercise. Come on. She had Thanksgiving last night. Can't even button my coat. We all need exercise. But what I'm saying is you know, we could sit here all day long and talk about they, them, and what they used to do, and how come they're bad, and they're the wrong, and we're the right ones. Hey, we all got to look in the mirror. Is there anything in our lives that's going against the gospel of Jesus Christ? But the gospel was given to set us free from the bonds of religion, so that we can run the race of true faith. Galatians 5, 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. You are set free in Jesus Christ. So why would Paul, and again, I encourage you to read this letter every week before you come to church. Read this letter, get into it, learn it, know it from beginning to end. Why would Paul be so insistent with these Galatians and push so hard doctrinally and argue with them so much? Because they, though free, having believed in the gospel of Jesus, were unwaringly putting themselves into slavery when they thought they were being religious. Falling away from Christ, falling away from the gospel. And Paul makes it clear time and time again, over and over, that a person is actually not saved when that happens. Nominal Christianity will only land you in hell. It will not take you to heaven. There's only one true God, one true gospel, one way of salvation. It's revealed to us in Scripture. It's in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord, in His gospel. Are we true Christians? 5 points today from Paul, from Scripture, from Galatians 5, 1 through 12. 5 points today on what true Christians do and what they're like. How true Christians live. First, true Christians reject the slavery of religion. True Christians reject the slavery of religion. When we study the Bible together, we begin to learn the patterns that the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to write. The Apostle Paul in particular has a certain pattern. All I mean by that is this. In every single one of his letters, doctrine first, then application. Do you know the book of Romans, 16 chapters? The first 11 chapters is all doctrine. And then chapter 12, it's like, since this is true, boom, landed on the table. This is how you should live. Well, here we have in Galatians 5, a major high point conclusion in the book of Galatians on the basis of the doctrine that the gospel alone has the power to save. And here's the high point conclusion. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Let's keep reading in Galatians 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, keep standing firm. That's a second person plural imperative command. I like doing this. I ain't from the South. I try. Every time I say it, everyone laughs at me, and that's okay. You can make fun of the Northerner. But this is all y'all. And this is a command. All y'all Christians, if Christ has set you free, keep standing firm. And it's an ongoing command. That's every day. That's day in, day out, year in, year out, minute in, minute out. Keep standing firm in the message of the gospel. And then here's the negative, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, in the context, we've said and we've seen from Acts chapter 15, verse 1, that the false teachers were coming behind Paul, the true apostle preaching the true gospel, and they were saying you must be circumcised, or unless you're circumcised, you are not saved. They were tying this work of the law action to payment of sin salvation. And Paul here says, if you do that, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. This has been, he's only just reviewing other teachings he's already taught in this book. If you want to keep one part of the law, well, you're actually then obligated to keep all of it. It's all or nothing when it comes to the law. Which, by the way, it's all or nothing when it comes to Christ. Which path are you on? If a person's trying to do that, trying to earn their own salvation by keeping the law, man-centered religion. Verse 4, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. There's a command in this verse, in these verses, and it is to keep standing firm. It's a way of life no longer dominated by legal constraint. It is liberty in Christ. Do not be subject in the negative. When he says do not be subject, that is also second person plural. It says all y'all. Don't be subject to, but it's passive. And it means don't let yourself be entangled in, or be subject to, or under the control of anything other than Christ falling back under into the law. If a person does that, it is back into slavery. It's an enslaved moral or spiritual condition characterized by fear of breaking rules. It's bondage. It's a lack of freedom. Oh, may God give us as Christians a true understanding of the Word of God. This has nothing to do with the freedom we talk about in our country. This is not freedom in America. This is freedom of any person who's enslaved to sin, who needs to be set free from sin. And that is only found in Jesus Christ. And if you've heard of Jesus Christ and believed in Jesus Christ, then keep standing firm in Christ and don't fall backwards into sin again. And in this case, it's not even moralistic sinful behaviors, like a lot of preachers usually talk about, and I have too. Like stop the drinking and stop the smoking and stop all the sexual immorality. It's not even that. It's fallen away from the very gospel itself. That you think that somehow in your religion, your man-centered, man-working, I got to do something to appease God. I got to be good enough. I just sinned, so now I got to do something to make up for it. Any of that and all of that is an affront against God and His grace, His truth, His love, and His gospel. We're trying to go back into doing man-centered works to earn forgiveness, which Jesus has already provided freely on the cross. That's the sin. That's the slavery that Paul is teaching against. F.F. Bruce says, to seek justification, biblical word for salvation, the initial standing aspect of it before Almighty God, to seek justification through faith in Christ was to seek it on the ground of God's grace. To seek it through legal works was to seek it on the ground of their own merit. So are you standing before God on the basis of His grace or on the basis of yourself? There's only one gospel. So the first point is that true Christians reject the slavery of religion. The second point is that true freedom is reflected by true Christians in Jesus Christ. So true Christians reflect true freedom in Jesus Christ. If we're going to set us free today from the bonds of religion so we can run the race of true faith, reject the slavery of religion, but reflect true freedom in Jesus Christ. Let's read again in Galatians 5, reading over verse 1 and then go down to verses 5 and 6. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, main command, all y'all, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And then look down at verse 5 and 6. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. That's basically Jew versus Gentile and law keeping and all that wrapped up into that phrase. But so that's the negative. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. But here's the positive. What is the meaning of all this? What is true faith in Christ look like? What does true freedom in Christ look like? Faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith energized, produced even by love. Faith which is set in motion by love. It's to be at work, to be active, to be working in, to produce an effect of. So this is interesting because what Paul is doing here is I believe the scripture does this to every single one of us. We are to be super glued to, married to, endured to the gospel of Jesus Christ as the very rule, identity, purpose, everything of our lives. We don't earn our salvation. And our good works are as filthy rags. And so therefore, what does it mean that I'm even standing here to say, set us free from the bonds of religion so we can run the race of true faith? I mean, I'm making a distinction here. Okay? Yes, we can say Christianity is a religion. But it isn't. Not really. Human man-based religion, if the focus is on yourself and your works and your legalism, Paul's going to say in just a moment, that's not from God. But why am I saying that Christianity, I'm saying, let's set each other free from the bonds of religion. Because if you have a faith-based love relationship with Jesus, if you have a faith-based love relationship with Jesus, that's going to change you. And it's going to work through you. And you're still going to have coming out of your life the fruit of the Spirit and the love of God. But now it's coming out of your life because it's sourced in Christ. And you're not trying to do things, acts of works yourself, spiritual acts of works. You're not trying to do those things to earn God's favor because you already have God's favor. Now, what does this look like? Let me use a quick illustration. From Matthew 6, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And in Matthew 6, 1 through 6, 18, our Lord Jesus takes three religious behaviors. We'll call it that. Giving to the poor, verse 2, Matthew 6, 2. praying, Matthew 6, 5 and following, and fasting, Matthew 6, 16 and following. And each of the three, this is what's profound and beautiful. It's all too simple, but why don't we get it? You know, it's the country guy singing a stupid song and talking about another religion and mixing it in. Why don't we get it? Okay, it sounds simple, but this is amazing. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, you can do these religious things. You can pray and it be wrong, and you're rewarded just for yourself. If you pray so that people observe you and see you, if you give to the poor so that people observe you and see you, if you fast and you walk around moaning, look at me, I'm starving, but I'm doing it for God, your reward is already there this side and it's over. But Jesus says, if you do these very same things, so this, I wonder if people get confused when we're reading the book of Galatians. Okay, not supposed to do works, but the fruit's supposed to come out of our lives. So it's supposed to look like we're doing religious works, but we're not really doing them for that reason. It's all about the motive. Even Jesus in Matthew 6 was saying, you can do those same things. You can pray, you can give to the poor, you can fast. But he said for all three, but if you do it in secret, your heavenly Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So in your faith, is it faith working through love that is producing a love relationship with God and a way of life under God, and it's all for the right reasons and the right motive to glorify Christ? Or is it man-based religion? Now I think we're probably seeing a difference there, aren't we? True freedom in faith working through love is how we reflect Christ, not by doing works of the law. So if we're going to understand this idea to set us free from the bonds of religion so that we can run the race of true faith, the first two concepts are this that Paul just went through in Galatians 5, 1 through 6. First, reject the slavery of religion. Second, reflect true freedom in Jesus Christ. So, then, as we keep reading on, Paul now introduces a really fun parable, rabbinic parable, metaphor, about running. Look at verse 7. You were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? So remember, this is a climactic, high doctrinal application to our lives now. In the book of Galatians, Paul is turning from all that doctrine, which is powerful and amazing, and applying it to our lives. And he's said, you know, he preached the gospel to them, and then they fell into a false teaching. And now he's, and so remember, that's the context. This isn't initial evangelism here. This is preaching to Christians who at first accepted the truth and then decided to go backwards into slavery, spiritual slavery. Run the race without distraction. Okay. We had a friend back in the South Dakota days. He was a runner. And, you know, even we've all seen the Olympics and even the long races, okay, on the track. Have you ever seen someone who was running a race and they stepped out of bounds? I mean, they could run for a lot further than I can run. They could run... And if they step out of bounds, let me put it this way. We're a football culture. So I was watching a game on Thursday night, and there's a pick six in play. Pick six is when the quarterback throws an interception, and the defender who caught the ball runs it in the opposite direction. And nobody was there. Nobody was there. Defender caught the ball. He went all the way down the sideline, went into the end zone. The crowd, yeah, cheering. I'm so glad for slow-mo replay. And then they showed, when he caught the ball, he took two steps, and the left half of his foot was on the white paint. Touchdown, pulled back. What happened? He was disqualified. Why? He stepped out of bounds. He's disqualified. If a runner running a race steps off the track, they're disqualified. You were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? There's this wonderful metaphor happening here. Paul is saying, hey, forgive me if I just play with the illustration, pastorally, preaching wise. You caught the ball, Pick six, touchdown. You heard the gospel. You believed. It's all good. Why'd you step out of bounds? You were running well. I don't know if the coach on the sideline was like, hey, nice catch, man. I'll bet you the coach on the sideline was like, why'd you step out of bounds? 7 points, 6 points. It was a touchdown. Inbounds, inbounds, inbounds. Play the game. I mean, if I was the coach, I'd sound like that. Paul, to the Christians who heard the gospel and then wanted to go back into slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion, Galatians 5:8, did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens or spoils or adulterates the whole lump of dough. So run the race without distraction. Paul now shifts. If we're talking about being set free from religion to serve and live by faith and run the true race of being a true Christian, reject the slavery of religion, reflect true freedom in Jesus Christ. But now, this isn't just evangelism. This is your discipleship until the day you die. YouTube has a bunch of false teachers on it. TV has a bunch of false teachers on it. Country radio has a false teacher singing a song now on it. Run the race until the day you die. You and I are in a race for our lives. And it's not based in human religion. It's not based in works. Paul's teaching against that. But it is based in your endurance, your perseverance, your faithfulness. And you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. This is what the writer of Hebrews said. And Hebrews 12:1 and following, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Don't read that so fast that you're just reading through it quick in a sermon. Jesus died for you. Why do you need anything else? He endured the cross for us. So keep your eyes fixed on him. Y'all, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you. There's false teaching everywhere you look. As a Christian, if you're a true Christian, don't step out of bounds. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and Jesus alone. And don't let anybody or anyone or anything take the place of Jesus in your life. He despised the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is alive. To set us free from the bonds of religion so we can run the race of true faith, true Christians reject the slavery of religion, true Christians reflect true freedom in Jesus Christ. True Christians run the race without distraction. And four, true Christians run the race in God's strength. Point number four. In God's strength. Thank you. Excellent. Galatians 5:8. This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. And then look at verse 10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view. Okay, remember Galatians. Keep your hand there in Galatians 5. Just open up Galatians. Just flip back to Galatians 1. Flip back quick. Galatians 1. The introduction of the letter from the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. The gospel is not from man. The gospel is not man-made. Paul's gospel and teaching is not from this earth, from this world, from this realm. It is from God. Think about that concept there. Meditate with me together on Galatians 5:8. This persuasion. As he's unpacking that false teaching of human-based, man-based religion to keep works of the law in order to be saved, he says, this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. Almighty God is calling people out of this world. He's calling people to himself. He's calling people to Jesus Christ for salvation. And if anyone falls away from Jesus and follows another teaching, that's not from God. Y'all, our series on Sunday afternoons, they're all recorded. I'm telling you, there's even people out there who claim to be Christians, but they add to or change the gospel. It's not from God. There's false religions out there that claim to worship the God of the Bible, but they deny Jesus Christ. That's not from God. That persuasion did not come from the one who's calling you. So who called you? And are you endured unto him? All our strength in the race is fueled by our God who is in complete control. All our trust for ourselves and even for other people is never in any human, but God who works his perfect will and his ways is within us. So run the race in God's strength. Run the race without distraction. And then point number five, back to Galatians 5. Run the race to win. Don't forget kind of the timeline that Paul is arguing with, encouraging them as believers. He preached the gospel to them already. They fell off the horse into a false teaching. And he's now, this isn't just evangelistic. It's not really even evangelist. It's discipleship. It's correction. It's like exhortation. Now he's saying to those who had already believed, stay in the gospel, don't fall away. But now watch this. Run the race to win. Christians, we're not done with the race until we die. Don't be tempted by anything in this world to fall away from Christ. Okay, you saw me drop my glasses before, and I was thinking about the cowboy song and other things. How many illustrations could we come up with? My heart's actually been broken by some Christian authors who've written Christian books and Christian music bands who've actually produced some of the more doctrinal music I've ever heard. And to hear that the authors and some of the players in the bands recanted and turned away from Christ. Y'all, that's not Christian. We're not done until we've won the race. The Christian life is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Come what may, no matter the temptations in life, no matter the trials in life, I'm going to blurt this out and say it, no matter who's president, come what may, whether this is a pandemic or not, whether I lose my job or keep my job, come what may, no matter what hits my life, run the race to win. Endure, persevere, stay in Christ, and don't let any false teacher knock you off your horse. As Paul says in Galatians 5:8, this persuasion did not come from him who's called you. Now look at picking up in verse 10 again, 10, 11, and 12. But the one who's disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. Talking about the false teacher. What's that in verse 10? You know false teachers are not going to get away with it, right? Read 2 Peter, read Galatians. False teachers, before God, they're judged. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? So he's saying, I don't preach circumcision. I'm preaching the gospel. And for preaching the gospel, even his own ethnic brethren are coming against Paul and persecuting him. Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ for your salvation is either your greatest hope and joy, or it's your greatest barrier to God. You are not a Christian if you have not fallen at the feet of Jesus Christ under the cross. If you're not born again. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. So, sermon's over. Pastor Evan and I were talking. Corey, how are you going to preach that one? Y'all think the Bible is this clean, wonderful, simple, beautiful instrument. And do you know what that verse says? There's children in the room, so I can't tell you what it says. What that last verse says about the false teachers in their issue of circumcision, which are trying to add to the gospel for people to be saved, Paul says, I wish those false teachers would just go all the way. I have to stop there. See me afterwards if you want to know what that means. But here's what we have. In this passage, don't miss that Paul consistently, he does this throughout a lot of scripture, you know, lays the negative and the positive side by side. Why? So that you and I, by God's grace, would land on the positive side of what the teaching is. There's still some very strong teaching here against false teachers, against false gospel. Do not fall from grace. But what we have is we have winners with God, with Paul. Run through the persecution. Persevere. Christ has set you free. Live in your freedom. Keep standing firm. You are the winners of the race. Run the race without quitting. We also have losers. They are not from God. This persuasion is not from God. There are false teachers, and they stumble over the cross. Paul wrote in Romans 9:30, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness attain righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith? But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it was written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Jesus, you and I have to face Jesus and face him today and face him now before you die. Because if you're not right with God this side of heaven, you're not going to be with God on the other side. Okay? This is not about a religion. This is about each person knowing Christ in true salvation. He is the stumbling block. Accept him. Die to yourself. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:23, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Run that you may win. The Christian race of faith, real Christian life, is lived on the basis of the gospel, God's truth, not people-pleasing, not law-keeping. What happens? Well, sometimes people aren't going to accept you. Paul was persecuted for staying in the truth, but still run the race. There is victory only in Jesus Christ. John 16:33, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And so now we have some sporting metaphor today. So I'll close with some thoughts on sports. But it's not just about sports, it's about our faith. Paul's major conclusion here, which he's now going to flesh out for the rest of chapters 5 and 6, is it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, reject the slavery of religion, reflect true freedom in Jesus Christ, run the race without distraction, run the race in God's strength, run the race of faith to win. A champion is someone who gets up even when they can't. My kids know this one. A quitter never wins. And a winner never quits. Trying times are no times to quit trying. Henry Ward Beecher said, the difference between perseverance and obstinacy is that one often comes from a strong will and the other from a strong won't. He also said, it is not the going out of the port, but the coming in that determines the success of a voyage. Christians, I think the world's going to test us. I think we're already in the center of it. will you and I hold fast to the one way of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, standing firm? Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless us, that you transform us, that you help us, that you strengthen us. The warning rises to the level of the importance, the weight, and the impact of the truth. This passage has warned us that anything outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not from God. This persuasion is not from you. But Jesus, by grace, through faith, in the person of Jesus, our Creator and Savior God, you are not a created being like the false teachers say. You are eternal, co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, one God, Creator and Savior. And only in Jesus Christ is anyone's sin rectified before God, forgiven before God, paid for by God Himself in Christ. Lord, I pray that you bless us to be truly true Christians who don't live in just a religion, but in a faith-based love relationship with Jesus Christ. And from our relationship with you, we will run the race until we see you. If there's anyone here who has never received you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would, in personal faith, cry out to Jesus Christ with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again from the dead. Give them new birth, new life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. It is in your name that I pray. Amen.